Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail. Hey, everybody, welcome, welcome, welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. We have got a juicy one for you today. But before we, I kick it into gear here to talk about the healing molecule with Dr. Nusheen Darvish of the Holistic Medical Center, I want to just tell everyone, yes, I did get to interview Joel Osteen this morning, and it will air next week. It's a very short interview, and he is at Key Arena tonight. So that's just an FYI for those of you that have been emailing me since I mentioned it the other day. Dr. Darvish, as you know, is someone that has not only through her own healing journey, but through her passion and compassion for all out there that are suffering and struggling with some kind of illness and disease. And her commitment and dedication is to find solutions where no other doctor has ever gone. I almost want the Star Trek music, is what today's show is about. So we're going to take you on a journey that will introduce you to what we're calling the healing molecule, why it is so important, and what has she discovered about it. Dr. Darvish, welcome to the show.
Dr. Pat, and Happy New Year to you.
A juicy one it is.
A juicy one it is. You know, I always told my patients, the last year was preparation year, and this year is a year of transformation.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
So
it is.
We have to transform. There is, it's going to come whether we like it or not. The transformation will happen. And part of that transformation is really taking into account this healing molecule that you mentioned, which, you know, I want people to think about a little bit. What is it that, what molecule is it that's found in every cell? That is basically the life force behind every cell and organ function. And when there is no none of this in the cells, disease usually prevails, cancer usually grows, and infections usually grow. So the healing molecule that I'm talking about is oxygen. And it's a simple thing, you know, we hear about oxygen and say, yeah, whatever, go on. But really, if you think about it, oxygen is vital to every single one of our cells. And when, like I said, when there is no oxygen or when there is a deficiency of oxygen in the cells, then there is cancer growth, infections grow. So when there is oxygen, cancers cannot grow and infections cannot multiply. So really, when we are lacking oxygen is when many of these chronic diseases that we are facing today prevail. So when you think about oxygen, oxygen is the key fuel for every cell to make energy and also to detoxify. So, you know, we're talking about detoxification all the time, especially when the new year comes, you know, we've done our vices during the holidays, and we come in, we say, oh, you know, it's time to detoxify for the beginning of the year. So detoxification for the cells is really important, but it all begins with oxygen. Now, when you think about cancer and diseases and oxygen, we realize that really those conditions take over when there is an imbalance between the production of oxygen and its usage. So when we're using a lot of oxygen or when we're not getting enough oxygen, when there's an imbalance between those two functions of oxygen at the cellular level is when cancer and infections grow. So the key to preventing diseases is really to make sure that we are getting oxygen. Now, when you look in our environment, you know, we are exposed to an environment that really lacks oxygen. I mean, look at our environment, pollution in the air. You know, some cities have more pollution, less oxygen. There's, you know, for instance, in some cities like San Diego, even though it's a beautiful climate there, the oxygen is very low and there's a very high rate of asthma in San Diego because there's not enough oxygen. There's a lot of pollution there. When you look at the electromagnetic fields, they tend to deplete oxygen. So in cities like Seattle, San Francisco, New York, you know, cities where, big cities where there is a lot of electromagnetic fields, high-rises, computers, cell phones, cell towers,
yeah,
all of those really deplete the oxygen in our system as well as in the quality of air. So, and then diet. We look at diet, and our society pushes for a processed diet. And most processed foods, they're all processed foods, really. If you're looking at crackers or chips or cereals, even the meats, they are all void of oxygen, or, you know, majority of them have a limited amount of oxygen in the foods. We get our oxygen from the foods we eat, as well as the air, as well as the water. And so if we're eating food that is void of oxygen, if we're eating a lot of processed food, how do we expect ourselves to work efficiently, to detoxify, to make energy, and to prevent disease? I mean, look at our society is exactly the opposite. There's a lot of disease out there. There's a lot of toxins out there. There's a lot of chronic fatigue out there. Why is that? Well, a big, you know, portion of it is because of our lifestyle. So increasing vegetables and fruits to make sure that we are getting a lot of oxygen from these, especially the green leafy foods, spirulina, you know, chlorella, those kind of really dark, dark, rich-looking vegetables are full of oxygen. I mean, that's why the trees are there, right? They take the carbon dioxide in the air and they transform it into oxygen for us. That's why you want to have lots of plants in your house to make more oxygen in your space so that you can work, think, and function more effectively.
You know, it's really quite a dilemma, too, because, you know, for people that are ill, and, you know, I'm looking back at my own healing journey, right? For people that are ill, you tend to get a little, you tend to get immobilized, which means that, you know, instead of being out there and moving around and actually getting more oxygen, by the very nature of disease, you get less. Isn't that an interest? And to get caught up in that cycle doesn't help the healing process at all, does it?
Exactly. And, you know, the sedentary lifestyle, the indoor lifestyle, the high-stress lifestyle, and the medications that, you know, we take because we're not feeling good, those all either burn oxygen or reduce our ability to use oxygen, or they deplete the oxygen around us. You know, one of the most effective treatments that I use for many of the chronic diseases is just what you said, in that to get patients moving and to use oxygen, there's something called EWOT, exercise with oxygen therapy, EWOT. And basically, it's getting you to exercise while inhaling oxygen from an oxygen tank. And it's surprising for patients how they feel after they do that. First of all, if you're sick with a chronic infection, say pneumonia or Lyme disease or Epstein-Barr, chronic mono, whatever you're sick with, or a cancer, you start inhaling oxygen along with exercising, say, on a stationary bike or on a mini trampoline, those rebounders.
Right.
And people feel really good afterwards as long as they don't overdo it. If they overdo it, there is too much detox going on from the cells. The infections are dying off too fast before the body can actually get rid of the toxins from them. And so they do get flu-like symptoms. So that's a signal that they're doing too much exercise with the oxygen. But it's a very powerful treatment. It's been known to be used for detoxification, but also as an antimicrobial therapy. I mean, you know, you don't need to give you antibiotics for bacterial
right.
infection. All I need to get you to do is to sit on a bicycle, prescribe you some oxygen at a particular rate using a very specific mask. Okay, not it is dangerous actually to use the typical regular oxygen masks. These masks are very specific for this kind of a therapy. They're called EWAT masks, and it has an extra bag where it helps hold the carbon dioxide that you're releasing through your breath, so that you're not breathing that back in, and you're just breathing in the fresh oxygen coming in. So it is a very specialized mask, but it is also a very powerful treatment in helping reduce cancer, allergies, chronic infections, chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, diabetes, I mean, you name it. This type of therapy can be very, very powerful, and it's just oxygen.
Well, and we see what the athletes are using it for. In general, I mean, there are athletes that are training like this to improve their performance.
That's right. That's right. And we were talking about the other day, you and I,
yeah.
about how important it is when you're actually exercising or, you know, just lifting up some light weights to take that big breath and blow it out.
Yeah.
Repetitively, because you're taking in the oxygen and you're releasing the carbon dioxide that your body's making. And as a result, your metabolism improves because the oxygen is getting to the cells and getting the cells to do what they need to do to make energy. So, you know, this cancer and oxygen, or I should say oxygen being used as a treatment for cancer, was discovered by this doctor, Dr. Otto Warburg, years ago. And he actually received a Nobel Prize. So we know that there has been research on this, specifically how oxygen affects cancer cells. But yet, you know, you go to an oncologist, this is hardly talked about. You know, a few years back, there was some preliminary research about using exercise with chemotherapy.
Yeah.
And so some oncology clinics have taken that on, and they ask the patients to go ahead and exercise while they're getting the chemotherapy. But really, most of the time, it doesn't get even mentioned how powerful this could be.
Why is that? Let's just comment on that for a second, because we're learning that there are a lot of things that are not being mentioned. But, I mean, is it because the doctors don't believe in it? Is it because that's not something they do or monitor?
I think, you know, the big portion of it is we are a pharmaceutically driven medical healthcare system. And so the doctors are trained basically by the pharmaceutical reps. And you're looking at, you know, thousands of dollars for every chemotherapy session that a patient gets versus pretty much $0 for every oxygen mm-hmm. therapy that the patient gets.
Mm-hmm.
So because we're pharmaceutical and money-driven society, unfortunately, these simple things that are so life-transformationally, you know, transform the life, so life-changing, hardly get mentioned
right.
at all, unfortunately. So this is why we do this, why you do this, is to bring this up so people get educated on some of these things that are so simple but so powerful.
Well, and, you know, this is why we're doing this show in a lot of ways, because, you know, in your practice, you know, you are now also integrating this into part of the healing process as well, correct?
That's right. That's right. So, you know, one of the ways we get oxygen is through water.
I know. We don't drink it. Really? Mm.
Right? So for every water molecule, there is two hydrogen molecules and one
yeah.
oxygen molecule, right?
Isn't that really the key to why we should drink water?
Exactly.
Yeah. We think
That's
it's the water.
We're 90% water.
Yeah.
And the reason we're 90% water is the way chemically our body holds on to oxygen. So, because oxygen is mainly a gas, right? And gas just evaporates and gets used and moves on. But when you have water, it kind of stabilizes it and pulls it to a liquid form where it can travel to different cells and function more effectively. So it's almost like a canister or holder of of oxygen gas, this water. So this is why we need to make sure we're drinking a lot of water in order to provide ourselves with the oxygen. Now, think about it. When we breathe, we're only breathing 21% oxygen. Okay, so 21% of the air molecules coming in are oxygen, mm-hmm. whereas 30% of the water is oxygen. So there's more oxygen in water than there is air, but yet we need both.
Well, and you and really part of this is getting back to sort of a level of basics and then adding everything you've just talked about, right? You know how many drugs I was on, right, when
yeah.
I first came to see you. A bag of steroids I brought in. And Linda's mom is another example. She takes 12 different pills a day. And so the question then becomes, Dr. Darvish, can somebody that is in that kind of condition that doesn't get out much, you know, what is the solution for them? And especially, I mean, we're talking about water and the power of water. You know, what would be the solution for people that really need to take some action? But the bottom line is they're not going to get to a gym. I mean, I'm just getting back at the gym. What are we saying?
You know,
here for
as
folks?
Simple as just getting up and doing some house cleaning with, of course, non-chemical based cleaners, but keeping the windows open, getting fresh air while you're moving around the house. I mean, as simple as that can make a difference. Or if you have a mini trampoline or purchase one, they're pretty inexpensive, little rebounder, you jump on that for 5 minutes and work your way up to, you know, half an hour. So with the window open initially, and then gradually we get the oxygen into you. So it can be very simple. And then getting the water in, because, you know, water, one of the things I'm on right now is this water drinking. And water has a very special property. One of the properties it has is that it memorizes the energy around us. So when we have positive thoughts, negative thoughts, at the dinner table or when we're drinking water, that is taken up by that water, and then water acts like a homeopathic medicine or a vaccine, as you may call it, and basically that water that you're drinking can transform the water that's within yourself. So one of the important things to do that I recommend for patients to do is to, in the mornings, to take a glass of water, say a prayer over this water, and then drink it. And the reason I say that is because Dr. Emoto, I'm not sure if everybody's heard about Dr. Emoto, he's a Japanese researcher who has spent a lot of time analyzing and researching water and its properties. And one of the things he found was that water has different types of crystals and forms different types of crystals depending on the energy and the mood we present around it. And when you have a positive mood, these crystals are like perfect snowflakes. When you have a negative, you know, like hatred or anger, then that water shifts to a muddy. And think about it. If we as individuals are carrying on negative energy, we are going to be sick because our water is very muddy.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if we're continuously very positive, showing a lot of love and compassion and giving to others, then that water is going to transform into a much more positive energy force, which helps the cells function better. And one of the things he did was he researched or analyzed water that was prayed upon. And the water that you pray upon turns into a perfect six-pointed crystal snowflake. And so when you drink that water over time, it has a domino effect on the rest of the water within your body, and it transforms it, thereby allowing the cells to heal. So this is why praying is important, but I think an easier way to get over this is to just pray over water and drink that water. But be conscious of the thoughts that you're thinking of when you're drinking your water or your meal.
Well, holy water is a perfect example.
Exactly, and that's where it comes from, that whole concept.
Mm.
Is it transformative?
And, you know, this is something everybody can do. I mean, you know, we think we have to go to a priest or a bishop or minister or a pastor to get something blessed. But we do have the power to bless things ourselves,
exactly,
don't we?
Exactly,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and for me, going to a priest or a rabbi or somebody, that's an old world system. That's the system were, which was developed thousands, hundreds and thousands of years ago,
yeah,
for people who were not literate,
mm-hmm,
who needed somebody to educate them. Today, we have the ability to learn. Most of us are literate. We have access to the internet. We are able to communicate with others, go to places and learn for ourselves. So there's an independent investigation that we can do. And part of that is that we can also tap into the spiritual powers,
mm-hmm,
around us and bring that positive energy into the drinking water that we have.
Oh, my gosh. You know, this is all tied into sort of getting back to some of the things that were discovered. For example, let's talk about oxygen therapy.
Oxygen therapy is so exciting. So oxygen therapy was first discussed in The Lancet, which is a very famous, well-established medical journal, in the 1960s, so in the early 1900s. And it was given intravenously for various diseases. One of the things that it was initially developed for was in India. They were having an Indian pneumonia epidemic, and they started using hydrogen peroxide. Hydrogen peroxide, remember, is two hydrogen molecules and two oxygen molecules. So it gives a little bit more stronger, well, it gives double the amount of oxygen than you get just in water. So in the 1920s, they started using hydrogen peroxide intravenously to treat for this epidemic of pneumonia, and 50% of the lives were saved because of this versus if they hadn't, everybody would have died. So that's how drastic it was in the 1920s with this pneumonia. And then they started using it for all sorts of different infections and cancers, but then it got lost. As the advent of pharmaceuticals came into play, hydrogen peroxide therapy was kind of lost. Today, there are doctors all over the country that still use it. And one of the things that it does is it disinfects the blood, but it also detoxifies the blood. And as it does that, again, it helps cuts heal, for instance. It helps. It's got a very strong anti-cancer property because it stimulates the immune system cells specifically to fight cancer. It helps autoimmune diseases. It's actually one of the well-known therapies to reverse autoimmune disease, whether you're talking about rheumatoid arthritis or lupus or any other type of autoimmune disease. It's excellent for chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, pretty much every chronic disease, heart disease. One of the things it does actually cleans out the arteries. When there is plaque buildup or too much fats in the arteries, it cleans it out. It detoxifies and oxidizes the fats in the arteries, so it actually cleans out the plaque buildup in the arteries when there is heart disease. And, you know, who knows about, who talks about this stuff? Hardly anybody knows about hydrogen peroxide done this way. It's a very inexpensive but very effective therapy. It's been used to treat cancers from HIV or even HIV disease itself, AIDS, herpes, shingles, chronic yeast, multiple sclerosis, depression, sarcoidosis, chemical and pesticide toxicity. So a lot of different types of conditions can be effectively treated with just hydrogen peroxide intravenously. And the reason for that is, again, because we're giving the body, the cells, the oxygen that it needs to do what it needs to do. It's nothing out of the abnormal state.
Mm-hmm.
It's just providing the body with what it needs, and all that's all we need.
And actually, and this is something you're doing at Holistique Medical Center as well.
Well, we do various, yes, we do various types of oxygen therapy. And oxygen therapy also improves the thermogenesis, in other words, the heat in the body. And,
oh, yeah.
And it affects thyroid function, so it
mm-hmm.
improves thyroid function. People mm-hmm. with atrial fibrillation, where the heart's doing all sorts of irregular
yeah.
thing, you give them some hydrogen peroxide and they do much better. Hormone levels, diabetes. I mean, it stabilizes blood sugar with diabetes. It does so many different things that most people don't know about. The question comes whether people do it intravenously, if they do it orally, topically. Mm-hmm. You know, when you have a little cut, you apply it topically because it immediately stops the bleeding, but it also helps the skin heal because you're providing it with the oxygen that it needs. Now, interestingly, hydrogen peroxide can be used only by certain mammals, like humans and cats and horses, have this enzyme called catalase. And what that catalase does is it breaks down the hydrogen and the oxygen apart and releases the oxygen. Some animals, like dogs, cannot tolerate hydrogen peroxide because it can't. They don't have that enzyme, and they can't break down the hydrogen and the oxygen, so it actually becomes a toxic substance and they can die from it.
Well, we're going to continue this conversation with Dr. Darvish, but she's going to be putting this information up on her blog. This is so amazing. Go to drdarvish.com. That's her website, drdarvish.com. Sign up for her blog and newsletter. Dr. Darvish, I can't wait till we do part two of this.
Thank you so much. It was been quite a pleasure talking about oxygen.
Oh, it's great. Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning us in and turning us on. Please follow up with Dr. Darvish at drdarvish.com. You can find out more on her blog and give them a call. They'll explain it to you as well. All right, everyone. We'll see you next time on the Dr. Pat Show.